Well, hello there, and welcome to my almost midlife crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. This podcast is about that point in your life when you're no longer young, but listen, you sure aren't old yet either. In today's episode, we're going to be diving into how your friendship circle changes as you get older, sometimes in the participants and sometimes in the size. So if you've ever wanted to call BS when you hear someone talking about their 60 best friends, then this one's for you. So first of all, before we get started today, I have to apologize. I feel like my voice probably sounds a little stuffy, or like I have a stuffy nose today. My allergies. I don't have the vid, all right? I'm fully vaccinated, but my allergies have been acting up. It is like that time. Like springtime has hit, and my allergies are now immediately, can you hear that right there? My allergies are immediately going wazoo. So anyway, so just sorry for that. Apologize ahead of time. According to Brandwatch, the average number of Facebook friends is 338. So are we supposed to assume that we have 338 close friends? No. I mean, of course not. We all know that there's a difference between people on social media and your in real life friends, your IRL friends, right? I mean, social media friends are a mixture of like different aspects of your life that you've interacted with in some way, or in some cases, or depending on the platform, you've never met in real life, but you just like the content that they give you, right? And this changes based on the platform. So like my Facebook friends, my Facebook is probably like the most private of any of my social platforms. Instagram, less private. In fact, I think it's even like I don't think I have to even like approve for someone to follow me. And both are definitely more private than my TikTok. I mean, ironically, I have the most quote unquote friends on Facebook, but I think that just has more to do with the length of time I've had the account than the amount of time well, it's definitely not because the amount of time I spend on the platform. It's probably the one I spend the least amount of time on. My Facebook friends are like this big mix of people, right? They're like people from my past, people from my present. Like for example, I have my family. So my family's Facebook friends, like my whole family. And I have a pretty big family. And at this point, a lot of Christian's family too are my Facebook friends. I also have some of my current friends. I have high school friends, which I mean, the last time I saw these people, really anyone from high school, unless I ran into them on the street, like the last time I actually spent time with them was probably like our 10-year reunion, which was over 10 years ago. We're supposed to have our 20-year reunion in 2020, and which clearly didn't happen. But I think I'm okay with that. I don't know. I don't really feel like I truly missed out. I think actually that's one thing that social media has kind of like ruined is high school reunions. Right? Like, why do I need to go to a high school reunion? I could just see what you're doing on Facebook. Like, there's no surprise, right? It's not like, I don't know if anyone ever used to watch like Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. My high school friend and I used to love it. And it's not like that where you'd go and you're like, I wonder what so-and-so is up to. I wonder what the quarterback from the football, I couldn't even tell you who the quarterback was at my high school. I think his name was Kurt, maybe. I could be wrong. I don't even know. God, I feel like I should at least know that. But, you know, you'd be like, I wonder what so-and-so's up to, or like your crush from high school. Like, I wonder if they're married. Now it's like, well, I could just look you up. And we're probably still friends on Facebook. And like, there's no surprise. So it kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like, why do I need to go out to the burbs to some rando bar to go have shit beer, or like don't even, because like, I mean, you're not going to a place where you order wine, right? It's like a beer place. You're getting like a Amstel Light or something. Why am I going to go all the way out there to do that when I can just chat with you on Facebook if I really wanted to? Anyway, ruined it for everybody. Thanks, social media. I also have like college friends on there. Even some old boyfriends, just because, I don't know, I'm like lazy and I don't clear out my Facebook friends a lot. So there's still some roaming in there. And like every once in a while, they'll comment on something and you're like, oh, Oh, I didn't even realize we were still connected. I also have people that I've met through like Ultimate Frisbee, which, yeah, yes, I did play Ultimate Frisbee. And yes, Ultimate Frisbee is a sport. It is not just when you throw the disc around on someone's lawn, okay? If you don't know what Ultimate Frisbee is, you need to go on YouTube and Google, put in the search term Ultimate Frisbee National Championship Highlights, and it's going to blow your mind. You're welcome. But I used to play Ultimate Frisbee, and you know what? I was fucking great at it, okay? I was good. My nickname was Urlacher, which for those of you that are not into football, Urlacher was pretty much a badass defensive player. And I got the name because I was a really physical player. And even though technically it's against the rules, but I mean, hey, I was going for the disc, right? Whatever. I'm a physical player. I'd be diving for the disc. Like, I was into it. I have some past and present work colleagues and clients that, you know, like those people, like when you first start a job and you're like, well, I'm not going to like, we're not going to connect on social media because like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they're like ready to see like the real me. They see me like professional me. I don't know if they're ready to like also see something I post that like my mom could like get mad at me for and like comment on. Like, I don't know if I'm ready to share that part of my life yet. So it usually takes a while for me to invite like a work colleague or a client. I usually won't invite clients until they're ex-clients actually. So that like nothing I could say could like impact the client relationship. But yeah, I have some of those on there as well. But TikTok, on the other hand, is pretty much just like open to whoever wants to watch my videos. Cause like, listen, I'm still learning that platform. I'm much more of like a voyeur on TikTok. I'm trying to get better, especially now that I have a podcast. I'm like trying to like step up my game on that platform. But I still just like, even when the thing is, when you're in quarantine, it's really hard to do TikTok. Cause I'll see a bunch where I'm like, oh, I could do that trend. Like I could jump on that. But then I'm like, but then I feel like I need to like take a shower and like do my makeup. Like I would like sometimes I'll literally start a video and then I see what the situation is in the camera looking at me. And I'm like, oh no, we're not posting something right now. So I try to like post it if I had like a reason to look decent that day. Like if I like had a dinner that night, I'm like, well, maybe I'll do like a TikTok video. So it's like kill two birds with one stone. Right. But I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out, but there is some like legit talent on that platform. I am not one of those people doing like really talented stuff. I just more make like videos that make me smile. But anyway, I get sidetracked as I usually do when it comes to TikTok. But the collection of Facebook friends, when I counted up and I had to look when I was thinking about this episode, because I honestly had no idea, but I have between 500 and 600. And if I'm honest, I probably only pay attention to like 100 at most. Some of my closest friends, like my friends that I see all the time in real life, like aren't even on Facebook at all. Like two of them aren't even on it. And to be honest, I should probably take a page from them and seriously think about getting off that damn platform, because there are times which, especially in the last couple of years, and I'm sure some of you agree with me on this, but there are times where I truly question the value that Facebook is bringing to my life. Like how much positivity is this really bringing to my life, or how much negativity is this bringing to my life? Because sometimes I will say it's much more negative than positive. And for the most part, I pretty much only pay attention to people that show up in my newsfeed. Like I'm not sitting there like entering in your name in the search toolbar. Like that is work that is not happening on Facebook. Like I don't even know why they have that search toolbar for like a normal day. So Facebook's algorithm pretty much determines how much we interact on Facebook. So recently I was reading this article and it was discussing the British anthropologist Robin Dunbar, who developed what they call Dunbar's number of 150. So this number is the number of reasonably active social connections humans are capable of within their social circle. Which 150 seems like a lot. I'm not going to lie. Like, do you know 150 people? Yeah. But like, am I friends with 150 people? Not really. It's not shocking to me that this number is lower than our average social media friend count, pretty much proving that it is not possible to consider all 500 of my Facebook friends real friends. And that's not shocking. Like, that's not the main point of this podcast, because you're like, yeah, no shit. I'm so glad I just like wasted my time listening to this. I sure hope no one is sitting there thinking, like, if that is shocking to you and you're sitting there being like, wait a minute, are you telling me that my 500 plus Facebook friends are not my really close friend? Then, ooh, I'm not going to lie, like, that would be super embarrassing. And I really think you should like look in the mirror and like reevaluate some decisions in your life. But so I think for the most of you, we're all aware that that's not a shocking stat. But what's interesting is he drills down further from there. So Dunbar ranked these 150 friends and put estimated numbers behind what humans can truly handle. Because at the end of the day, I mean, maintaining real friendships, like actual friendships, goes beyond clicking like or share or commenting 5 seconds on something. It takes cognitive effort and it takes time, right? So his research shows we essentially have the capacity to support, and this is like a little bit of a list, but 5 what he calls intimate friends. These are not friends with benefits. It's different. That falls into a different category, okay? But 5 intimate friends or your support group, right? The people that know you best, like your ride or dies, okay? 5. 15 sympathetic friends who you can confide in. These are friends that you can be yourself with, that you could open up to, right? Sympathetic friends. 50, quote unquote, close friends. So maybe these are people like you don't see all the time, but if you were having a milestone birthday party or event, like they'd be on your guest list, which I have some of those. Like I have a really good friend of mine that him and I, like he no longer lives in this city, so I don't see him a lot. But every time I'm in New York, we meet up. When he comes into town, we meet up. He's definitely invited to my wedding. I'm super looking forward to seeing him. You know, that would be what I would consider one of those like close friends, because the second we meet up, it's like no time has passed and we could pick right back up where we left off, right? And we know each other very well. It's just we don't talk like on a daily basis. And then you have 150 friends. So if you ran into them on the street, you're probably going to like, oh, let's go get a cup of coffee. Or in my case, let's go get a glass of wine or something for a chance to catch up. Coffee, I am not like a let's go get a cup of coffee to catch up person. Maybe just because I like to spend more time with people to catch up. Like, I like to get into deeper conversations. And to me, like coffee, I mean, not like I drink a grande. I'm not just going for like a little espresso shot or something, but to me, it's like not enough time coffee. That's like too casual, unless it's like, let's go grab a cup of coffee and then like go for like a walk or something like that. But like, I'm more of like a, let's get a drink. And like, let's be honest, like let's get multiple drinks. Let's catch up. But when you go above 150, they fall into what they call acquaintances and beyond, like not even worth naming, right? Because those are like pretty much people that you remember how you know them. And most of the time you remember their name, but you don't really know much more than that. Like you probably don't know, sometimes you don't know their last name. You maybe forget if they're married or what job they have, whatever. Like, you know, the bare minimum. So if you're like me, after I went through that, I was immediately starting to categorize my friends, right? And for the most part, I would agree with Dunbar. And my friends pretty neatly fall into these groupings. And the number within them was actually pretty close too. So why I started kind of looking into this is, to me, this has been really top of mind recently, right? Because I am smack dab in the middle of replanning my wedding. I'm less than 3 months away from the now wedding date that is our 4th wedding date. And we're replanning it with COVID restrictions because I don't live in one of those states that pretends like this pandemic doesn't exist. Okay. So I live in a state that we still pay attention. We're very conservative about the pandemic. I will say, I don't know, now that I'm fully vaccinated, maybe a little too conservative, but whatever. There are COVID restrictions that have been here now for 14 months. And when we were originally supposed to have the wedding, which was May 2nd, 2020, we originally had invited 200 and then we had about like around 160 that we were expecting. And now we have to reduce it to 100. So almost half, right? So that's a big cut. And we didn't have, I know you're probably thinking like, well, yeah, you probably had like a bunch of like courtesy invites, right? Like people, your parents were like, well, we have to invite so-and-so. And I swear to God, like we did not have that many of those. We had a couple and yeah, those were easy to cut, but it wasn't like 60 of them we didn't have, that's for sure. So then once you get down to 100 and then you take out like the bridal party, you take out your like immediate family, there's actually like not that much room for friends. So knowing what category your friends fall in is super important when you have to make decisions like that. And it just got me thinking about, you know, what category people fell in. And it also got me thinking of bridesmaids. So why is it that when you see young brides, like I'm talking 20s, in photos, and listen, those are normally the brides that you see, right? I will say I'm the whole like wedding industry. It's gotten a little better in the last year or so of showing more diverse couples, not even from like, not just from a race and cultural standpoint, but also like body types. Like not every bride is like a size 2 and like big boobs and like small waist, right? Like just like more realistic couples, I will say. I think they've gotten a lot better at that, but they're still showing mostly young brides. And granted, maybe I would be curious to know like the percent like breakout, because I mean, we do know that elder millennials or millennials in general are getting married a lot older. So maybe they just literally don't have enough, I don't know, to show with the amount of content they put out. But it tends to be younger brides. So I'm looking through all of these things and they all have like 8+ bridesmaids and usually plus. And I see all these Instagram photos and they have like these huge bridal parties. And my first reaction is we are in the middle of a fucking pandemic. Like, why do you have 15 bridesmaids? Because then you need 15 groomsmen. And then like, do you have anyone actually watching this wedding? Or is it just your wedding party based on COVID restrictions? Or are you just like in Texas? Because how are you even having this wedding right now with 15 bridesmaids? But my next thought that is not pandemic related is like, you do not have 15 friends that are worth, like that are that close in your life to be bridesmaids. I'm sorry. Like I call BS. I have 4. Okay. Quattro. All of them I have considered would be part of those like intimate friends group for at least 7 years minimum. 3 of them have been friends for almost 20 years. So these 4 women are definitely like my ride or die bitches. Like they know me super well. They know the good. They know the bad. They know the ugly. We've had arguments. We've cried. We've traveled together. We've laughed. And when it came down to choosing my bridal party and needing to pick who it was, outside of picking Christian as the one I was going to marry, it was the second easiest decision I have had to make this entire process. And it took me about 0.5 seconds because I never even had a question in my mind of who would be my bridesmaids. Do I have other friends that I consider close? Yeah, of course. I have friends that I consider close outside of those 4. Or as Dunbar would have put it, my sympathetic friends. Yes, 100%. But there is a big difference between these four women and like the next level. So let me give you an example. And I'm gonna try to get through this example without crying. I think I can do it because I think this is like literally 8 years ago. But this is like the best example I could come up with. So my matron of honor, Faith, she was watching my last dog before Ginza, my dog Raya. She's a little adorable 4-pound Yorkshire Terrier. So while I was on vacation in Cartagena with Christian, and Raya, while she was in Faith's care, Raya had not been in like a good place for a while, right? Like she was 13 years old. Like I left her with Faith because I didn't want to leave her with a pet sitter because she had been having health problems for a while, right? So Raya had a stroke when she was with Faith. And Faith was having a hard time getting a hold of me because we were on this island off of Cartagena, at the time when this happened. And almost like, this was like one of those islands where there's like almost zero cell service or Wi-Fi, right? So she was having a hard time getting a hold of me, and she went to the vet and they were telling her that Raya needed to be put down, right? That was like the right course of action. But she knew, even without talking to me, she knew that there was no way she was going to do that without me being there in person to say goodbye. And so instead, she went against vet recommendation and she took Raya back to her house. I will say she did end up getting a hold of me, and her and I sat on the phone pretty much all night so that I could speak to Raya. And so Raya could like hear my voice while Christian, poor thing, was desperately like, he's dealing with me pretty much losing my freaking mind over here, all night. And he's desperately trying to get us off the island and get us new flights from Cartagena to Tampa. And so when we got to the airport the next morning to fly back, I received the news that Raya had passed. So what did she do? What did my ride or die bitch do? Well, she sent her kids to the grandparents' house because obviously like kids shouldn't be around for that. She then proceeded to bathe my dead dog and brush her hair and wrap her in a blanket and wait for me to arrive, which was a good 8 hours to say my goodbye in person, and then supported me for the month, and I'm talking over 6 months, it took me to be able to say Raya's name without just completely bursting into tears. Okay, that is ride or die. That is a whole other level of friendship that most people will never even experience. And honestly, I feel so lucky to have four women I can say know me well enough to know what to do in situations like that. And I know they're going to be there to pick me back up after. And I would do the same thing for them. I don't know if I would have bathed the dog. I will say that was like a whole other level. Maybe. I don't know. I can't promise that. But I definitely would have held the dog there for Faith to say goodbye. There is no way that these 20-somethings have 10-plus of these friends on their roster. I don't buy it. If they do, then they should be going to buy a lottery ticket or something, because that is a whole other level of blessed the world has not seen. That is like much more of a blessed than buying one of those like cheap ass signs you get at like Home Goods, right? Like live, love, bless, like whatever, you know what I'm talking about. So why the 10 plus bridesmaids then? Because you do not have 10 plus ride or dies, okay? I think the difference between when you're in your 20s to when you're 35 plus is that when you're older, you start getting like more accurate in your categorization of friendships. So think about it. In your 20s, you're more likely to be like optimistic about the friends you have, right? You think that you're so much closer than you really are. And you believe these are going to be your friends through it all, right? We all had those. We all had people growing up or when we were younger that we thought for sure, like, these people are my ride or dies. And yet they weren't, and they aren't, and they're no longer in your life, right? and maybe you're just like grouping your sympathetic friends along with your intimate friends, and you're not differentiating between the two, but they are different. But we all have those. Like we've all had friendships fall apart, right? And so maybe they're just confused about how close their friends really are. And as you get older, and honestly, as life throws you more curveballs, because it's just like dating, it's really easy to have like great relationships when things are great. But when things get hard and you're adulting and like life throws these like just shit sandwiches your way, you really start to develop clarity on the differences in your relationships. And you become a little bit more realistic of your expectations of others as well, right? I mean, I remember when I moved to Chicago, I was in the market for friends, right? I had my college friends, I had my matron of honor and my other now bridesmaids that we were super close. And I came to Chicago and I just kept trying to like fill this void that I felt leaving my closest friends back in Florida. And every girl that I met, I thought like, ooh, maybe this could be it, right? This could become a friend. And then I would expect them to act as though my ride or dies in Florida would act. And I would expect them to be as close as the relationship I had with them. And that's not fair. I mean, needless to say, I was disappointed every single time, like 100% of the times I was disappointed, because really close friends are super hard to come by. And most people don't even like ever reach that level of friendship with you, right? So it's not fair to expect that. And as I've gotten older, one of the most valuable lessons that I've learned is that that's okay. Like not everyone needs to be top five. People can have different parts of your life, right? Like they could bring different things to your life. Like I have like a friend of mine, she's a coworker, and we've started becoming closer during COVID because she is like my Peloton bestie. And we've really connected. I mean, we've really connected over, honestly, like Peloton. That sounds super cheesy, but we like do different workouts together. We'll do different plans together. We do different challenges together. And so we're like always talking about that. And then that kind of opened the door to like other conversations about other things as well. But like, you know, I don't expect, like, I really enjoy my relationship with her and I get value out of it, and I hope I provide value, but I'm not expecting her to like be as close as one of my bridesmaids. But when I was younger, that wasn't the case. I just thought like everyone, like that was like the natural progression. And like, you are like this person to me. And like, if I just stick with it, sooner or later, you're going to be like my next bridesmaid. Like that's, I thought it was a progression. And when you're older, you realize it's not necessarily a progression. There's not everyone will make it to that. And that's okay. Because not everyone needs to be the top five. Also, I don't have time to support more than that to the level that they deserve. Because it's that a friendship is two ways, right? So I'm also like, I can't give you what you would need from me to be at that level either. Those kinds of friendships, I mean, those deep relationships, you develop those through time. And they also require the most effort. Like those relationships are not relationships that just are like, you know, on a whim, like you don't even have to try. I mean, friendships, long lasting quality friendships, like take effort. So I would suggest, though, as I was thinking about it, I would suggest an amendment to Dunbar's groupings a little bit, because I think you have a little bit more than your top five. Like it includes your ride or dies, but you know, you're going to know them your whole life. Like when I'm 90 and I'm drinking a glass of rosé at the old people's home, hopefully someplace warm, so I don't have to deal with winter anymore. My ride or die bitches will be there right beside me, sipping on that rosé. Okay, a little whispering angel by the pool. But there's like a top five A group that can rotate into that spot depending on your current life factors, I think. Like maybe they're in the sympathetic group and they kind of like increase importance during certain times of your life. So also, I'll use my matron of honor faith for this example, just to give you like a good juxtaposition. So I have always been really close with Faith, right? But our lives are super different. Faith got married before I could even decide like on what flavor of the week I was going to date at that time, okay? She's the mother of three amazing children, one of whom is a preteen, which I'll tell you what makes me feel my oldest is when I see pictures of her eldest child or my 20-year-old niece and remember them as newborns. Like, I was at their baby showers and now they are young women, and that makes me feel old. There's actually nothing that makes me feel older than that. So needless to say, while Faith and I have always remained super close, you know, our life circumstances, they've been so different for so long. And we've also lived in different states now for over, I don't know, probably 12 years. So when there were times, you know, there were times that we just couldn't connect as much. And she wasn't, maybe we weren't as intimately involved in each other's day-to-day lives, thoughts, and feelings as we were, you know, in the past. And that doesn't take away anything from our relationship. It just was different, right? And in that time, I started to build deeper connections with people that had a more similar life situation than me, which enabled us to connect on a different, relevant, deeper level. So, like for example, I have one friend that I would put in that like sympathetic group, like definitely someone that's like, you know, I can be myself with, and that's important to me. But I have one friend that is literally going through the exact same life stage as me right now. So we're close to the same age. We're both getting married for the first time. We're both thinking about starting a family. And we're both past our ovarian prime. And we're thinking about doing these all in 2021. And you better believe, like, we have a ton to talk about, right? Obviously, we have a lot to relate to each other right now. Because pretty much everyone else I know has either like way been through this, like they're already in the like, I'm never having more kids stage, or they're in the I don't have a desire to have a kid, which is 100% respectable. So we have a lot to connect on, right? So it's only natural that our bond, I would imagine, is just going to continue to become tighter as we support each other and go through it together. Because other people, especially like our friends that aren't interested, like I have a couple close friends that aren't interested in having kids at all, which like, good for them. Like they, you know, that's their choice. But like, I mean, I wish they would, because their kids would be amazing. But not my decision. And I'm definitely not going to pressure them. So, and if you're listening to this, then I'm sure you're going to be like, I know she's talking about me right now. I'm not pressuring you. I support you 100%. And you do you, girl. I got you. Okay. But I'm just saying, like with this, with my friend who actually is going through it at the same time, I mean, we could actually just talk about it together and not like annoy everyone else by talking about it too all the time. Right. So it'll work. But realistically, so when I go through my friends, I think like, maybe I have like a top eight, right? Maybe like a top eight. And maybe that the top five is still going to be the ones that we're going to be in the old people home with me, or as one of my rider jives always says, like, we're going to get like a commune and like live together. That's like her dream, which I don't know, sounds pretty good. But the other three to four are damn near close. Okay. And they have the potential to at least come for visits for like a game of bridge or like whatever old people play. I don't know. So if you're sitting there thinking like, okay, like how do I know what category my friends fall in? I want to share with you an idea that the author of this article provided, because I thought it was actually like a really simple way to do it. So imagine someone walks up to you and asks, how are you doing? Not Joey's like, how you doing? No, like, hey, what's up? How you doing? How you answer this question will tell you which group the questioner falls into. So think about it. For like the 500 plus acquaintances, you're going to respond with the typical like, I'm good, you? You're going to be honest with them. You're not going to tell them how you're really feeling that day. They're not going to wake up and be like, well, actually, like I got in a fight with so-and-so yesterday and I was like very upset. No. Also, you actually don't really care how they're doing either. Like you're just asking to be polite, okay? And it's not rude. That's common courtesy. That's manners, right? They're asking for the same reason. You think John, you know, like John Doe that you met 5 years ago, but you don't even know his last name, like really cares if you had a stressful morning? No, he doesn't. Okay. He's just asking me nice. And he really doesn't want you to answer with anything outside of fine, good, or great. Okay. Like just pick one of those, move on, continue with your day. But if the person asking the question is part of your 150, then I don't know, you may respond with a little bit more detail. Like if it's relevant, it depends on the situation, right? Like if they're a work colleague, but maybe they're not like a super close friend and they're like, oh, how are you doing? Like how, you know, how are you doing today? You could be like, oh yeah, pretty good. But I'm like really nervous about that presentation later, right? Cause that's like a relevant thing that's like, that is relevant to them. Right. You aren't going to go into this story and like the fight with your head, like with your parents this weekend. Like that's not, you're just going to talk about something that's like relevant to them. With your 50 close friends, they're going to get probably more honesty. They're going to get some more detail probably, depending on the situation. And the 15 sympathetic friends, like the, you know, those are like your safe zone. You can be honest with them. And you can truly answer how you're doing. Those are also the people that will probably actually want the real answer, right? Like if they're like, hey, how are you doing? And you're like, I'm good. And they're like, really? Like you don't look great, right? They're doing that because they actually care and like want to know in that situation. They don't want the typical like, good, you. So those people are definitely within at least your 15. But try asking this, you know, to your like top five. Like you don't even, your top five, or maybe like in my case, your top eight, like they don't even usually have to ask, right? Because they probably already know. The question probably isn't going to be like, how are you? The question is more likely like a follow-up question to a previous conversation. Like, oh, how did it go with blank? What's going on with this? Are you feeling better about this, right? Like they're deeper questions to begin with. If you don't think it's this simple and you're like, no, I don't think it's, I think there's more to it. Why don't you go ahead and this week, why don't you try answering any of your 50 close friends or higher? So like any of your acquaintances or whatever. Why don't you try giving them the same answer you would give your top 15 or even your top five and see how fast that shit gets real awkward. Right? So it's like, oh, hey, how are you doing? You're like, oh, well, actually, you know, I've just been like really depressed about like this and event. They're going to be like, oh my God, I'm never asking them this question ever again. Now they're going to like avoid eye contact in the hallway moving forward. And by the way, this also goes with family. Okay. I've been thinking about this a lot too lately. And if you listen to my episode, Do I Know You? Just talking about how your relationship with your parents change as you become adults. When I was thinking about how they separate friends, I was thinking about like, where does your family fit into this, right? Because your family is part of your social interaction as well. And, you know, if you have four people in your top five and none of them are your family, does that mean you have like none of your family in your top five? Like, oh, or is that just me? But your family doesn't have to all be in the top five. And I think that that's, you know, like in the last episode, I was talking about how like your parents, for example, like back in the day in my 20s, actually, I would have probably said my mom was in my top five. And maybe she is, maybe she's like in my top eight. But when I think about the top five, I think about the people that like know me best and like know me inside and out. And like in my last episode in Do I Know You, I talked about how as you get older, your parents no longer become the experts in you. So like if they are no longer know you in and out, then like can they be in the top five? I don't know. Just a little food for thought there. As we get older, we get more selective with those we spend our time with. Why? I hate to break it to you, but it's pretty simple. We have less time left. As part of our midlife crisis, we're finally realizing our time is a precious commodity because it's not going to last forever. We don't want to waste it on people that don't bring us value. For those that are important to us, they're worth the time investment. As we get older, we no longer try to invest the same amount of time into each friendship. Determining what group your friend falls in helps you prioritize your time. And don't feel bad about this. It's all 100% okay, and by the way, healthy. But don't make the mistake that you have close friendships with all 500 of your Facebook friends. You may love chatting with your Peloton buddy and you get a lot of value out of your relationship, but don't confuse this relationship with your top five ride or dies. If you do, then you're not going to be putting the appropriate level of work required to keep those friendships. That means you're going to wake up at 90 in an old people's home and you won't be playing bridge with your friends. You're going to be playing solitaire. And no one really likes to play solitaire. Until next time.